You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Third Way Investment Partners, the black-owned infrastructure investor and asset manager, founded by former head of the largest pension fund on the African continent, South Africa's Government Employees Pension Fund, John Olifant, has partnered with Maya Capital to launch a 3 billion rand impact investing fund, the Maya Debt Impact Fund 1. That's a post-COVID-19 economy reset fund, if you will. I'm joined now by John, as well as Mutle Makhase, Chair, and Dineo Lerutla, co-founder and managing partner of Maya Capital. Guys, welcome. John, firstly, kick us off here. And speaking at the Third Way Leadership Dialogue webinar to mark the launch of Maya Capital and this debt impact fund, you had former Deputy Finance Minister Msibisi Jonah saying that there was no shortage of money in the country. What we have potentially is the shortage of leadership. And when we see the likes of Vusi Tembekwayo calling out all politicians for their failures over the last 26 years, where do you see this leadership to turn around our country's fortunes coming from?
Michael, thank you very much for inviting us. We really appreciate the opportunity. As you know, that in times of crisis, we often say that there's also opportunities. From a Third Way point of view, is that, you know, even though the Deputy Minister or former Deputy Minister of Finance said that there isn't really a shortage of capital, what I think our problem has been, it's actually an allocation of capital that is not really optimal and that is really not geared for the type of our economy. If you look at what we've been doing as the group, has been to facilitate for pension funds in particular, because that's a significant pool of capital we have, estimated to be anything between 4 trillion and 6 trillion, facilitating for it to be invested in the real economy. And really, Maya Capital is really the evolution of that view. Where, I mean, as you know, that within the group, we've got an infrastructure platform where we facilitated for investments into the renewable energy sector. We've got a healthcare platform where we facilitated for investments into healthcare. And looking at what COVID-19 has, the damage that's going to be caused by COVID-19, we felt that it was important to partner with Mutle and Dineo to create a new platform that will, you know, be more about inclusive growth. As you know, that you know, the debates, whether it was in the US or here, of the post the growth post the financial crisis of 2008, people felt that it has made those that were rich richer and increased inequality. So we felt that there was a need to ensure that this current reset, we don't miss out on the opportunity for inclusive growth and dealing with inequality. We will definitely need a bold leadership, both from government and from business. We believe in partnerships, and I think in our engagements with Mr. Jonas, was that we need to deal with the trust deficit between government and business. And I think if we all believe that we've got a vested interest in making the country work, only partnership between government and the private sector will take us out of the current crisis.
And I know we've spoken in the past, John, about pension public-private partnerships being that kind of model of building bridges, of building an inclusive stakeholder-led sort of capitalism, one that I certainly know former Business Day editor Peter Bruce is a big fan of as well. And this is one way of going about doing that, isn't it?
Definitely, definitely. And also, like, I mean, we need to appreciate that South African, listed South African sector has really been investing outside the country. So the biggest challenge is that capital has been leaving the country and investing elsewhere. And that's why you realize that we've got such big challenges in our economy. And we believe that conscious investing and coming back into investing in the real economy, because otherwise you're creating a vicious cycle. If you've got Naspers, for example, investing in China, if you've got Woolworths investing in Australia and others investing elsewhere, where are the jobs going to come from here at home? You know, so we need to think carefully, because the more you lose jobs in our economy, the more you would not have sufficient savings in the future. Because as people lose jobs and you've got less employed people, it means you've got a smaller pool of retirement savings, which is which then creates a far bigger problem. So it is important that, you know, as we indicated in our leadership summit, that, you know, globalization somehow will be impacted significantly by COVID-19. So there'll be a bit more focus on regenerating industrial capacity within various economies, including ours.
Mutle, to bring you in here, talk to me about the structure and the purpose of Maya Capital Partners in an environment like this. You obviously came together with John and Danao and saw the need for a special vehicle. What is the exact structure of this vehicle, and what do you see as your driving, overriding purpose?
Thanks, Michael. So the basic structure of the fund is what we call a debt. It's a debt fund. And we're looking at mostly kind of mezzanine kind of instrument, and that's because obviously in these kind of situations businesses are troubled and some of them actually need a mixture of debt and capital. So we would supply through the mezz structure quasi equity, which will enable the business to raise a little bit more debt but doesn't dilute them to the detriment of the shareholders, because they're also quite vulnerable at the moment. So that's kind of also helping with that inclusiveness instead of diluting the shareholders. So in a post-COVID environment, in fact, I think we're going to be living with it for a while. It's anyone's guess as to how long this is going to last and how we're going to live going forward. So you want to think about it as living with COVID for some time. Right. So we see ourselves as playing that role. And that's one of the reasons we're trying to raise a 3 billion rand fund, because you need to be able to play a role in determining the impacts and guiding the investments within the investees. So this is quite critical, following up on John's analysis as well, to deal with the current environment.
And also to take this approach of a mezzanine debt fund. I was chatting to Brian Cantor last week and plan to have a follow-up conversation with him this week about how important it is to raise equity or quasi-equity type funding in an environment like this, which mezz funding could certainly fall into, because what we have seen is the reluctance, particularly of the banks, to lend into sectors where there is such uncertainty. And that's where I think mezzanine debt has a potential opportunity to play. Where do you see the fund playing in the South African marketplace?
So we've got selected sectors. So it's not just on the business front. Remember, we from a Maya Capital, we're looking at social infrastructure as well. So we'll be looking at opportunities in health, in social housing, in climate. So across all those spaces, and then obviously in businesses themselves. And we were discussing this last week as the Maya team, that the government put up these guarantees. I think it's 200 billion. And it's hardly been used because banks are just not geared to deal with this kind of environment, just by their nature from a risk point of view. And the need is for quasi-equity as opposed to pure debt. So it's just been unfortunate the way that the model has been put out. So we will be playing a critical role in dealing with that.
Danao, as the elephant, Mr. Jonas was saying, the former minister, if your pipeline is weak, you're unlikely to attract investments. So what does that pipeline look like at Maya?
We have a pipeline currently that we're estimating at about 1 billion rand. And this is only the beginning for us. We're quite confident that we've done enough work to prepare these assets that we should be able to deploy capital into them fairly quickly. Very exciting opportunities, I must also add. We have quite a number of offerings in healthcare, which are really assets that will enable us to roll out more affordable healthcare facilities in the areas where the need is the most. We have a pipeline that also includes investing in education, where we're looking to roll out to have more student beds made available in the country. I think you would know that one of the areas that affect the quality of education in the country is the lack of student housing. A lot of work has been done to demonstrate the gaps in there. And it's a market that has been opened up significantly for private sector to invest in. So we would like to direct capital there. We also have a number of opportunities in financial inclusion as well as and affordable housing that we're looking at. So if you really look at the sectors that we're looking at, Michael, this is where we believe that for us to reform the economy, these are the sectors that we have to prioritize, as Mutla has outlined them. Because in so doing, you know, we would be enabling access to services where the need is the most, which is areas such as education and energy as well. You know, if you look at the load sheddings that we have in the townships like Soweto for a week at a time, during a time where we're supposed to be partly learning online as schools are reopening, you can imagine the impact on that kind of society. And just going back to John's point, these are the things that are exacerbating inequalities, and hence we've really taken the time to mine those kind of deals. Mm. It's not an easy landscape, I must admit, but we do believe that because we've seen quite a number of successful models on the ground that can be scaled, we up to the task to work with our partners, including the DFIs, to really bring these opportunities to market so that the capital can be put where both will realize better lives for our society.
And that's an important point. You say working with your partners, is there a particular deal size or check size that you see as a sweet spot for the fund?
We're taking quite a unique approach to our investments. So we're not only looking at single assets, but also where we're investing into a portfolio of assets at a time, so that we can then be able to have the right amount of capacity to oversee the investments while at the same time we're able to deploy capital. So our sweet spot would be between 100 and 300 million for an investment check size that we would be prepared to sign.
And then rates of return, obviously in an environment where we see inflation trending lower, the hurdle rate's got to be what government bonds are offering at the moment, which is just over 9%. What sort of IRR are you targeting?
Because our fund is a mezzanine debt fund, we have looked at a benchmark that allows us to link our return to CPI, because that's how we measure really what a real rate of return is. And you would find that in the market, those vary between 6 and 10%. So we have selected, we've opted to go at about 6 CPI plus 8%. Because we believe that that is attainable, particularly also given the type of product that we're offering, which is mezzanine, you know, and it therefore tends to rank a little bit less than senior debt, you know. So the pricing, I think, is commensurate with that kind of an asset.
Oh, absolutely. And why it's such an important component if you look at the various tiers of funding, and one in where we see Vantage Capital has played particularly well in the South African marketplace over the last few years. Now, John, if one looks at this historically in the South African context, largely infrastructure risk has been assumed by government. And even if it didn't directly fund it, it would either directly fund it or to a large extent take a significant chunk of the risk. And what we have seen is this model almost come to the end of its useful life. And we see the allocation of capital in state-owned enterprises, you referenced it earlier, hasn't been optimal. We see what's happened with Eskom and others. What are some of the models that you see emerging from this that would encourage greater private sector capital risk? And I'm thinking, for example, where there are underlying discountable visible cash flows. And what I mean by that, where there are cash flows that aren't necessarily government dependent or are private sector utilization type fees, those can then be discounted. And we've certainly seen examples where that's worked quite well. What else could the private sector be looking for to become partners in this new blended finance sort of approach to building infrastructure in the country?
No, look, I mean, it's quite interesting because government about 2 weeks ago had what they call the Sustainable Infrastructure Summit. And by their own admission was that, you know, they feel that it's important to replicate a model similar to REIPP. You know that the Renewable Energy Independent Program, they believe that that model would work in other sectors of infrastructure. So clearly there is a clear focus from a government point of view, and also generating a pipeline of projects that is bankable. So I'm hoping from a government perspective that the summit was not the measure of success, because, you know, politicians like measuring success based on the number of people who have attended their conferences and so on. That's not the measure of success. We want to see the projects coming to be invested. So I think that is quite exciting. I mean, what I find interesting, Michael, is that just before this call, I was actually online with the CEO of DBSA, Mr. Patrick Lameni, and he was saying to me that, John, it's critical now more than ever to partner with the private sector, and they being the custodian of this blended capital injection that's coming from government. He said that they actually have accelerated even internally to build capacity so that they are able to engage with partners in the form of pension funds and so on. So I think there's a sense of urgency. Everyone is pushing in the right direction. As long as we measure success not on summits, but measure success on actual investments, for me, that is critical. But in terms of sectors, just to emphasize what this COVID-19 has also done, is that it has actually demonstrated how unequal we are as a society, you know, and we can see it now with our healthcare provision, where now, you know, you've got almost an overpopulated public sector healthcare, underutilized private sector healthcare. You've got debates between government and the private sector around pricing and things like that. So I feel like this actually provides us with an opportunity to reset and have critical conversations around how we can partner together to generate sustainable returns. I mean, last point, I know we only had 10 minutes. You know, the funny thing, Michael, is that I want to deal with this issue of privatization, because there's this obsession that when you invite the private sector, coming back to that earlier conversation around mistrust between government and the private sector, the reality is that the pool of capital is worker capital. It's me and you contributing to pension funds. So why do we classify that capital and call it other names? We need to harness that capital, partner with it, to create a much more sustainable economy going forward.
Absolutely, and therefore slay some of the ideological shibboleths that have prevented this kind of trust and partnership in the past. John Olifant, current chair of Third Way Investment Partners, thank you very much. Mutle Mkhasi as well, chairman of Maya Capital, and Danao Larutla, co-founder and managing partner at Maya Capital too. The very exciting announcement of a 3 billion rand mezzanine debt fund. Things do seem to be moving. We just now need to John's earlier point, see some of those projects. There are 55 that have made it through the SIDS process and program. Let's see them gazetted, and let's start to see execution and delivery, and then we'll start to rebuild some confidence. And as they say, confidence is the cheapest form of stimulus. You're listening to Classic Business.